I asked her if she was going to say something nice. We were eating, and she said, "Who's introducing you?" And I said, "Nobody." Anyway, thanks, Terry. I trust that each one of you here has been spoken to by all the messages and the worship. I just trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart this weekend. And I hope that you see how important it is that we be women who take every thought captive. If we don't take our thoughts captive, our thoughts are going to take us captive. We need to take the lies that we've believed, and we need to hold them up to Scripture. And we need to say, what does God's Word say? Because that is our measuring stick. It's not what we've been holding on to that for 40 years. It's God's Word. And we need to take whatever lies we've been fed, and we need to spit them out. You know, it's time that we just wash our minds with God's Word. And so we're going to take one last look at Scripture, and we're going to see what Jesus did when he was fed some lies by Satan. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. You can follow along if you want. I'm reading at a New Century Version. That's the one I use for my devotions, and I didn't bring any other Bible with me, so it might be harder to follow along with, but it says, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert, where the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing during that time, and when those days were ended, he was very hungry. The devil said to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, tell this rock to become bread." Jesus said, "It is written in the Scriptures, a person does not live by eating only bread." Then the devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. And the devil said to Jesus, "I will give you all these kingdoms and all their power and glory. It has all been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. If you worship me, then it'll all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written in the Scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem, and he put him in a high place of the temple, and he said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, jump down. It is written in the Scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you to watch over you. It's also written that they will catch you in their hands and so that you will not hit your foot on a rock." Jesus answered, "But it also says in the Scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." After the devil had tempted Jesus in every way, he left him to wait until a better time. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just continue to have your way here. Father, part of me doesn't want this to end. I just want it to keep going on. I just love being with these ladies. I like just being encouraged and eating. And God, I thank you for this weekend. And I ask, Lord, right now that you would speak to me, that you would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, that you would show us things in your word that we haven't seen, that, Father, that gunk that's been caked up in our hearts, that you would work it up, and that we would be done with some of this stuff. You are so good. And I thank you for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this chapter is talking about Jesus being tempted by the devil. The previous chapter, chapter 3, Jesus had just been filled. He had just gotten baptized by John, had come up out of the water, and the dove descended upon his head. And it said, God said from heaven, "You are my Son, in whom I'm very well pleased." So can you imagine, he's right where he's supposed to be. John has been preparing himself for all these years for Jesus coming, and here he is. The one that he's been preparing for, the one whose sandals that he said he was unfit to tie. And all this was according to plan. It says, in the beginning of this chapter, the Spirit led Jesus into the desert. So here he was. He had just had this incredible time with John baptizing him and the Lord saying that this was his beloved son. You would think that maybe there was going to be like a celebration or a party for him or something. But no, it says the Holy Spirit led him right into the desert. He didn't wander there. He didn't detour there. He wasn't going through there to get to someplace else. It wasn't an accident. It says that he was led there by the Holy Spirit, sent by God. He was led to the desert, dry, no water, few, if any, people, no food, no restaurants, no delis. Lots of sun beating down on him, beating down, beating down. No shade, critters, can you imagine? Nowhere to get away from them. Prickly cactuses, sand, lots of sand, sand between your toes, sand in your hair, sand in your clothes, robes reaching down to the ground. Everything you touch is sand. It's everywhere. Cactuses. You think the Holy Spirit could have led him to a mountaintop, could have led him to a synagogue where he could have preached to a bunch of people, could have led him home so he could have some food and bed. But they led him to the desert. And it says that in the scripture here, it says that the devil tempted him for 40 days. Now, I don't know what I'm reading sometimes, but I guess I always thought that when he went to the desert, he went there because he was going to be like fasting and praying. I'm sure he did. That's not what I mean. But it doesn't even say that that's what he was led there for. All it says is that, and then later it talks about the three temptations that he did. That was like the end. He'd already been tempted for 40 days. I just can't imagine what that had to have been like. You know, how difficult it is for me to go through, you know, hard times, or how hard it is for me to believe that God led me somewhere when it just doesn't seem, it really seems hard. It seems difficult. Sometimes I think, I must have missed it. I must have missed it. God surely didn't want this. I must not have heard correctly. But you know what? We need to be willing to go wherever God wants us to go. And we need to have the faith to believe that he can be trusted. And we need to be willing to be in it for the long haul. It says that Jesus ate nothing during that time. He didn't even have the locusts and the honey that John ate. And it says that when those days was ended, that he was hungry. You know, so not only was he tempted for those 40 days, but he didn't have anything to eat. Many of us eat three meals a day. And the time that we don't spend eating, we plan for the next meal. And we prepare it. Sometimes we even eat in between meals. Tomorrow we fast. You guys, last week when I washed all my dark clothes, I opened the dryer. No, I start pulling them out of the washing machine, and somebody left a Kleenex. I was sure it was Eric. I was sure it was Eric until today. I put these pants on, and I reached in the pocket. I just reached in there again. I think it was me. My basement looks like it snowed. I'm sorry. I just reached in my pocket. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. I forgot about that. So here he was, no food for 40 days. So he couldn't. There was no meal planning, no preparation, no meals, just plenty of temptation. You know, I wonder how he was tempted. Doesn't really say, but I wonder what the devil might have said. Maybe he would say something like, do you think God is really pleased with you? Do you really think that? I mean, he had just said that before he's on his way back. Maybe Satan said that to him. Or, hey, here's a dead raven. Go ahead and cook it and eat it, and then you won't be so hungry. Maybe he said, wouldn't you like a nice mat with no sand to sleep on tonight? Oh, what would you give for some leeks and onions right about now? Aren't you glad you came to earth? How beloved do you feel now? You realize you're mine, all mine. You're beginning to stink and your breath is atrocious. You know, I just wonder, what are some of the things Satan said to him? Can you fathom 40 days? And you know how fast you can get discouraged. You know, I could be sitting there working on top of the world and somebody calls and, you know, we'll just pretend someone calls and says, that retreat was really cruddy. I'll tell you what, that bums my whole day. And then one nice thing can make it like the best day in the whole world. But can you imagine 40 days of being tempted? Hebrews 4:15 says, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. We don't know the exact words that were used to tempt Jesus. However, they were more than likely a lot of the same lies that we are told. Some of the lies that I've listened to, well, this one probably wasn't told to him, but you know, you're second rate because you're a woman. You'll never change. You can't do anything right, especially like last Sunday when I forgot to put the attendance books out. You'll always be fat. You know, when you fast, you often have your focus on God and not on food. You're looking to God to sustain you and to get you through. You're not looking for that food to do that. And as you hone in on the author and the finisher of your faith, the distraction of food dissipates. And Jesus, when he was there and being tempted for 40 days, he was able to get through without sinning because he was being led and sustained by God. The fasting, though it was wearing to his body, it built him up and it gave him spiritual endurance and spiritual strength that he could withstand the enemy's lies and the enemy's schemes. And it'll do the same thing for us. And then it says, after he led him into the desert, at the end of the 40 days, it says, when those days ended, he was very hungry. I would imagine that Jesus was probably looking for a shower, some clean clothes, some food. Maybe he even wanted to be around people, but Satan had other plans. The Message Bible says the devil playing on his hunger. I kind of like that. So here he was, 40 days without food, and you know, Jesus could have said that I'm starving, and he wouldn't have been exaggerating. Because after 40 days, these are some of the things that happens to the human body. Well, first of all, your body would look very much would become very skeletal. You'd be able to see your bones. Your mind would be delirious. Obviously, you'd have weight loss. You'd be very, very weak and fatigued. Your immune system would be weakened. You would have loss of energy and stamina. You would have edema, which is, you would be swelling. And you would have decreased muscle mass. One of the sites I said, it says it takes a lot of mental strength, trust, and faith to live on only water for an extended period of time. So here was Jesus, had nothing, and the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this rock to become bread. The devil, he knows right where to hit us. He knows what's going to hurt. He knows what's going to maim. And one of his biggest weapons is distraction, to get us distracted. Can you imagine? He'd just gone, not eating, and he had been tempted for 40 days, and now he's still not done. I would be thinking, God, I just fasted for 40 days. Shouldn't I be getting some kind of reward, like peace? Or how about we go on a mountaintop and we just spend some time with each other? Instead, I'm still being badgered by this same stuff I've just been doing for 40 days. But Jesus didn't listen to the enemy because he focused on what was true. Satan didn't actually lie because Jesus was the Son of God, but he definitely tried to cast doubts. He said, if you are. See, Jesus already knew who he was, and he certainly didn't feel the need to have to prove it to Satan. Says he was very hungry, no food. Who could blame him if he did change the rock to stones? But he didn't give in. He stuck to and he spoke the word of God. It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live by eating only bread. What are you sticking and speaking to? Is it your own strengths? How about your own ideas? Maybe what helped you in the past, kind of like what Kirk was sharing on Sunday about David and the army, how they did it this way and the exact same scenario. And you know, we can't rely on the things from the past. No, we need to be like Jesus, and we need to stick to God's word. We need to spend time in the word. We need to memorize the word. We need to get it into our hearts. We need to teach other people what we're learning. And then we're going to find ourselves in situations where we can combat the lies of Satan. John 8:32 says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So after he had just asked them to change the bread or rock to bread, it says, then the devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms. Again, I'd be thinking, Lord, I'm following your word. I just fasted. What am I doing wrong? Wouldn't you be thinking that? It's like, I must be doing something wrong to be having this kind of temptation. I remember years ago when I was going through a time where I was being tempted by something, I kept thinking I was doing something wrong. And I was just so frustrated. And finally, someone pointed out, well, you're not giving into it. You're being tempted and you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're standing firm. And so I imagine Jesus, I mean, I know he was God, but I'm just wondering, here he's standing here on earth as a human. Is this going to end? It says, he took Jesus and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. And I'm going to give you all these kingdoms. And I'm going to give you all their power and all their glory. Because it's been given to me and I can give it to anyone I wish. Just worship me and it'll be yours. You know, the Lord's Prayer at the end of it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It all belongs to God. It was already his. Jesus knew it already belonged to him. And he wasn't looking for glory for himself. He was looking out for glory for his Father. In verse 8, it says, Jesus answered that it's written in the scriptures that you must worship the Lord your God and to serve him only. You know, we need to test the spirits. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, it's going to coincide with Scripture. And so if what you're hearing doesn't line up with Scripture, then it isn't from the Holy Spirit. What the devil said sounded good, and it was probably pleasing to the ear. And sometimes we may feel, well, you know, I've been serving God a long time. I've been a faithful servant. I've been obedient. And therefore, I just deserve a little recognition. Why wouldn't God want me to have whatever, a new car? I have here the whole pizza. I must have been hungry when I wrote that. A husband who really loves me, and my husband does. I'm just, in case there were people here that felt that way. Or, you know, fill in the blank. Why wouldn't God want me to have whatever? Anything. Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem, and he put him on a high place of the temple. Now, I keep picturing, did you guys see the Super Bowl? And Lady Gaga was way up there on high. Did you see that, how high she was? Oh, my goodness. The drones could have hit her in the head. And so it says that Jesus was in a high place of the temple. So I don't know how high it was, but that's what I picture. And Jesus knew full well. He knew that he could jump down from there. And he knew that he could be fine. He knew that. But he also knew that if it wasn't the Father's will, he wasn't going to do it. And so again, Satan used scripture. And but Jesus was, in Luke 2:49, it says that Jesus was about his Father's business. He was always about his Father's business. So here he is, you know, Satan's mixing things up and throwing lies at him, and he's not giving into it. And in John 7:28, Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, you know me and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true. In him you do not know. See, we can't take scriptures out of context. We need to be able to back up scriptures, other scriptures. What if I said Jesus wept as John leaped in the womb because the animals entered the ark 2x2? Hey, it's all scripture, but it's a bit out of context. Don't anyone write that part down. You know, it's true that God will protect us, but it also says that we're not supposed to test the Lord our God. So after the devil had tempted Jesus in every way, it says in verse 13, he left him to wait until a better time. We need to be women who are like Jesus, tempted in every way by Satan, yet not defeated. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put your name in this blank from verse 13. After the devil had tempted Jesus in every way, after the devil had tempted April in every way, he left her to wait until a better time. After the devil had tempted Jenny in every way, he left her until a better time. Because what happens is in that meantime, between now and that better time, we're spending time with God. We're spending time praying. We're memorizing his word. And the next time he tries to attack, when he thinks it's the better time, now we're even stronger spiritually, and we're able to counteract that one, because now we know more verses, and now we have more ammunition to shoot right back at him. See, we're in a war. Whatever you're using to help fight your battles, that's your shield. And so what are you counting on to protect yourself? You know, what do you turn to when you're hurt, when you're scared, when you're worried? What are you using to fight the lies in your mind? Because that is going to be your sword, your shield. Is it food? How about people? Confidence in man? Drugs? Alcohol? Scripture? Prayer? God? You know, what is it that you're holding on to? Because we're in a war, and our enemy wants to kill us spiritually. He wants to steal our peace of mind, and he wants to destroy any and all work that God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. We need to be on guard. We need to be women who take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. That's the end. I'll pray, and then we're going to do some worship here. Oh, Lord God, I know I want to be this kind of woman. I want to be a woman that when I get these lies, I don't just bite hook, line, and sinker. I want to be a woman who can stand firm and say, no, that isn't what my God says. That isn't what the Word says. Father, I pray that we're in this room, and we're supporting and we're encouraging each other. And Father, I just pray that as we leave here and as we go back into our regular lives, that Father, that we would turn to you, but rather we would use each other. Father, I just ask that we would be there for each other, that we'd be able to encourage each other, that Father, that you would just fill us with your word so we can share that with each other. You are good all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Shannon.